you doing over there?
Hi, Scott. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I'm going to mute you again, or mute me again.
The host has arrived.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott. I call this public hearing to order. The purpose of the hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding Citizen Initiative 17FSH2, an act providing for the protection of wild salmon and fish and wildlife habitat, which is appearing on the ballot for the upcoming November 6, 2018 general election. This public hearing is required under law. Alaska Statute 1545195 requires the Lieutenant Governor to hold two or more public hearings concerning the initiative in each judicial district of the state at least 30 days before the Tuesday, November 6, 2018 election. Only those attending in person today will be able to testify, but anyone may submit public comment on ballot measure one at any time through the online public notice posted at notice.alaska.gov/189769. The handouts from the hearing are also available for viewing and download as part of this public notice. Written comment on ballot measure one may also be mailed to the Office of the Lieutenant Governor, P.O. Box 110015, Juneau 99811. Anyone unable to attend a hearing in person will be able to provide oral testimony during a statewide teleconference currently scheduled for October 13, 2018. Anyone wishing to testify in person today should sign up using the provided sign-in sheet at the entrance to the room. There will be no questions and answers as part of today's hearing, but representatives from the Departments of Fish and Game, Environmental Conservation, Transportation and Public Facilities, and Natural Resources will be reviewing the testimony and comment received for this initiative. Each agency or each department has contributed to a frequently asked questions document, and this FAQ may be updated as a result of comments received during these hearings. The most current version of the FAQ will always be available through the online public notice for this hearing. The order for receiving testimony today shall be a statement of support from the sponsors of the initiative, a statement of opposition from organized opposition to the initiative. We will then accept testimony from attendees in the order that they signed up to testify on the sign-in sheets. Testimony will be limited to 2 minutes per person other than the formal statements of support and opposition. We will now begin accepting testimony. I'd like to ask Scott if you would explain briefly the teleconference setup.
Sure. We're limited to this device here, so we'd like to ask anybody testifying to come sit in this chair so they're only a few feet away so that we can get a good recording of the proceedings.
Okay. We are expecting Mike Wood to testify today for the sponsor of the initiative. Thank you, Mr. Wood.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Scott. The statement from support from Stanford Salmon. My name is Michael Wood. I'm from Chase, Alaska. on the Susitna River north of Talkeetna. Yes for salmon ballot statement. All Alaskans have been given the gift of salmon passed down through the generations. Salmon and other related fisheries support $2 billion annual economy, 32,500 fishing jobs, communities around the state, and ways of life for thousands of Alaskans. In addition, in many areas of the state, our tourism economy is driven by visitors coming to Alaska to fish, hunt, and view wildlife, supporting 43,000 jobs and adding $48 billion annually to the economy. It's our duty to protect salmon and all they provide for our families, for our communities, and for all future generations of Alaskans. And that is why I am speaking in support of ballot Measure 1. We are at a critical time in the history of the state. Our salmon runs are mostly intact, but the climate and oceans are changing. Alaska is growing fast, and a new generation of mines, dams, and large projects are bearing down on our communities. Our outdated, ineffective law that is meant to protect salmon habitat will not protect us from the worst effects of mining and overdevelopment on salmon, not when it's perfectly legal for foreign corporations to wipe out salmon spawning and rearing streams and leave a toxic mess there for Alaskans to clean up. We need real, science-based standards that will truly balance our salmon fisheries with responsible growth and development. When Alaska became a state, the drafters of the Alaska Constitution even recognized the value of these resources and created directives to protect salmon and other renewable resources. Specifically, Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution reserves fish, wildlife, and water to the people of Alaska for common use, directs the state to sustainably utilize, manage, and maintain our fisheries and other renewable resources, and directs the legislature to equally prioritize and balance the conservation of natural resources with the state's interest in utilizing and developing and the development of them. These constitutional directives serve as the foundation for Alaska's standard of care when managing our salmon resources. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys the healthy and sustainable salmon fishery, but we cannot simply manage harvest and expect our salmon populations to remain strong. We need to also have strong habitat management in place, especially during times of low returns. In tough times, the single most important thing we can do is provide healthy habitat for salmon to come back to. The problem is that Alaska's current fish habitat protection and permitting law is too general to truly balance sustainable fisheries and responsible development. Under the current law, the commissioner shall issue a fish habitat permit unless the plans and specifications are insufficient for proper protection of fish and game. However, there is no definition of what the proper protection of fish and game means. That means that the current law does not provide the certainty or accountability in the system to ensure that the law will be applied consistently and without political influence. That's why Ballot Measure 1 is so important right now. Ballot Measure 1 offers a proactive solution to strengthen Alaskan law and protect salmon streams as Alaska continues to grow. Ballot Measure 1 will establish clear, enforceable standards for development around salmon streams, requiring things like adequate water in streams, fish passage, and clean water that wild salmon need, while also requiring mining companies to pay for cleanup of long-term damage to salmon streams. It creates a two-track permitting system to ensure that projects that pose little threat to fish habitat get a minor permit and proceed quickly, but larger mining projects like the Pebble Mine are put on a more major permit track to receive more scrutiny because they have the potential to damage Alaska's salmon fisheries. It ensures that Alaskans for the first time have a voice in the permitting process for major development projects that could harm salmon streams. It gives Fish and Game the authority over salmon streams in Alaska, and it creates a path for responsible development projects to move forward in a way that protects our wild salmon legacy. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys healthy and sustainable salmon fisheries. We can look to the lower 48 and we can see what irresponsible development has done to salmon. We have the opportunity to get it right. My hope for the future is that we can learn from the past and choose a different path. Protecting our salmon runs for future generations is about as Alaskan as it gets. I hope you will join us and vote yes on ballot measure one on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. In addition to the sponsor statement, the law requires a statement of opposition. I'd like to ask Marliana Hall, who has signed to submit such testimony, to present. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for hosting this meeting, and in particular for hosting this meeting here in this wonderful community of Nome. My name is Marliana Hall. I am the Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Alaska. While that is my job, I am here today because I was born and raised here in Nome. I've lived in Alaska my whole life, and I hope to be able to continue living here for the rest of it. I grew up fishing and hunting and boating the rivers around the Seward Peninsula, as well as much of our state on the road system. I grew up during the construction and operation of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, the creation and the administration of the Permanent Fund Dividend, and other significant economic developments that make Alaska's economy tick and provides us with the ability to live and work here. I have the pleasure of serving as the chair for Stand for Alaska Vote No on 1 because there are many reasons that the measure concerns me. Ballot Measure 1 would eliminate our science-based fish habitat protections and replace them with red tape and unclear, untested regulations. This not only threatens our jobs and our economy, it threatens our rights as property owners and our abilities to maintain or develop public infrastructure, and it doesn't do the one thing that the supporters say it will do, fix the problems facing our salmon runs. For communities like Nome, the ability to improve the port, the wastewater treatment facility, or the airport will be in jeopardy. Across the state, road safety improvements, North Slope projects, docks, and more will be put at risk if this measure passes. It will likely delay or shut down existing operations and future projects that support the livelihoods of tens of thousands of Alaskans. Key projects would see extreme delays and potential shutdowns. Under ballot measure one, simple projects like adding or repairing a dock or culvert on your property will become tangled in endless red tape. For the people of Nome, it is a blessing to visit different areas of the Seward Peninsula because of the roads, because of the roads and bridges that let us go to Teller and Brevik, to Council, or even up past the Kuzitrin. This area is fortunate to have this fairly large amount of road infrastructure, whereas other parts of the state are less fortunate when it comes to roads and infrastructure. If this ballot measure passes, it will only hinder building or improving roads and other much-needed projects across the state, and it doesn't do what the proponents say it will do. More than 450 Alaskan businesses, organizations, and groups, and thousands of individual Alaskans have joined together to oppose the measure. The Alaska Native Corporations have joined Stand for Alaska Vote No on 1 because it threatens the way Native corporations can manage and develop their lands and the way the ANCs can provide for their people. Whether it be a community or development project, this measure will dramatically increase costs and harm rural opportunities. This measure threatens Alaskan jobs, the way we do business, and our rights to develop our lands and our communities. Could we make reasonable improvements to habitat protections? Perhaps, but ballot measure one doesn't do that, and it eliminates the opportunity to have the conversation. The measure is poorly written, vague, and gives too much power to one singular government appointee. If it passes, the lawyers in the courts will determine what exactly this complex measure does and doesn't do at great cost to Alaskans and our communities. The ballot measure does not solve, but rather creates problems. For these reasons and many more, I ask my fellow Alaskans to vote no on ballot measure one.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. We have a number signed up to testify. The hearing will conclude at 3 p.m. We'd like to ask each of those who now choose to testify to limit their comments to 2 minutes. I've heard and known that that's tough to do, but we'll see what we can do. So Charlie Lean or Lear? I'm sorry, could you state your name?
Yes, my name's Charlie Lean or Charles Lean. I'm a fourth generation Alaskan. And there's a couple more generations beyond me. So I'm the son and grandson of people that have worked in the gold mining and fishing and hunting industries, both. They're not mutually exclusive. And I'm speaking in favor of this proposition. I don't believe the sky will fall if it were to pass. I see it as a healthy reexamination of the Nanaimo Stream Project law since, it's been in place since statehood. It's been managed both fairly well and fairly not well over the various years. And I would say that currently the fish and game staff at the Nanaimo Stream Habitat people are few in number. I thought it was ironic when the governor, several governors ago, moved Habitat Division from fish and game to DNR. What ensued was consternation in the mining community because the habitat biologists at fish and game had seen themselves as a clearinghouse, and they had a good rapport with the federal agencies and the state agencies, and they had a checklist, and the mom and pop mining industry people were able to go there, and if they didn't have an outrageous proposal, it actually was expedited because a state person familiar with the regulations helped them move through it, through the permitting process, in a matter of a couple months. Now it's a longer period of time. So I see this as a good thing. I think there was an excellent illustration of the current problem with multiple agencies not coordinating within state government recently with the Bonanza Channel mining proposal, where somebody made a phone call from the lower 48, talked to state agencies, and got a tentative permit to go mining, all from remote. And when they came up, everybody went, "What do you mean you're mining in a salmon stream?" Well, it's not on the Nanaimo Stream catalog. All the Nanaimo waters are upstream of where we're mining. There's no salmon here. Logic would dictate that that's not right. It took quite a bit of talk to put things right. And now they're going through a permitting process that they should have addressed earlier. So, anyway, I don't see this as catastrophic. I see this as almost no change for the small operators, and for the more impactful outfits, I think it's a reasonable regulation. So thank you.
Thank you. That was 2 minutes known time. We have Blake Bogart.
Hello, I'm Blake Bogart. I'm representing myself. Thanks for doing this, guys. Great to see all the people come out. I oppose this measure, and I just have two comments. I truly believe our permitting process is working and is one of the best in the world. And if anything, I'd like to see more education on permitting. In a whole, I feel the majority of people don't truly understand how it really works unless you are directly involved with it. There's a lot of stipulation and speculation on the current permitting process. So if anything, I would like to see more education on that and just instead of adding more confusion and red tape to something that I feel like a lot of people don't really understand. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is that your favorite trout fly?
I can't get it out of my hat. What did you catch?
I do. Okay. Jeff Case?
Hello, thank you. My name is Jeff Case. I am for the stand for Alaska, vote no on Proposition 1. I'm here in Nome today exploring for graphite as a geologist, but I live the winters in Palmer, Alaska. And Alaska and the USA has a rigorous permitting process already, and we do it arguably better than anywhere else in the world. So if we don't extract our resources here, someone is going to do it in a different part of the world, and it won't be up to our good standards. It seems like this ballot measure is an anti-resource development measure more than a protecting salmon habitat measure, and that's just poor motivation to do any sort of legislation. And then the industry gets scared when it's already tough to work in Alaska because of how long it takes to go from exploration, discovery to production. So I'm seeing fewer and fewer job opportunities for myself because of that, which threatens my ability to go back home to Palmer and buy skis at the ski shop and support the different clubs back in my community. And then I'll finish up with, I think when mining leaves a place, it leaves it better than when they came, because I go and recreate in historic mining places. Thank you.
Thank you. Zoe Fuller?
Hi there. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
My name is Zoe Fuller. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was born and raised in Palmer, Alaska, but I currently live here in Nome. I strongly support the Stand for Salmon initiative. As an Alaskan, it's amazing how many development projects come up in this state, and it seems like citizens are the ones who end up investigating whether these projects will do harm and then lobbying the appropriate agencies to protect our resources. I think Alaskans deserve a rigorous permitting system that would allow for the protection of our salmon resources. My understanding is that ballot measure one would be a two-tiered permitting system. One would be for smaller projects and would be a minimal amount of paperwork. The other would be the appropriate amount of paperwork for large projects. And it would also put the onus of the cost of that of the permitting process on the developer instead of the state. I'm sure with our state budgets as it is, everyone will appreciate the cost being on the developer. I think Alaskans deserve a sensible and responsible permitting process. Salmon is everything to so much of us. And I think our access to salmon is the health and livelihood of so many people in our state. So again, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mike Wood, who had formerly made the statement for the sponsors, is now going to testify personally.
Speaking of Mike, yeah, thank you. Mike Wood, I'm a fisherman and carpenter where I live in Chase. And I had to give a little personal speech yesterday, but today I wanted to give more of an overview. Marliana brought this up, and so did Charlie, both about some of the history in this state.
And in the Habitat Division was created in the state in 1959 to for game refuges and to manage permits around anadromous streams. In 1975, during the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, Governor Hammond at the time actually created a joint force. It was both federal and state employees to make sure that they could ensure the environmental standards as the pipeline went in. It turned out to be a huge group that was harbored under the Habitat Division beginning in 1975, and at its peak during that time had 80 employees, and it had a budget of $5.4 million. And as we've seen, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline is a very large project that so far has had not a lot of negative effects on fish habitat. However, the foresight of that governor made sure that that didn't happen. In 2003, Governor Frank Murkowski decided to completely try to eliminate the Habitat Division and move it to the Department of Natural Resources. At that point, it was completely, basically, the cojones were cut right off of the Habitat Division, and leaving it with almost dead in the water until 2006, when Governor Palin then went from DNR and moved it back to ADF&G. So at its peak, the division in 1990 had 80 employees and had a budget of $5.4 million. Now it is just a fraction of what used to be. This state invested only in an oil economy. We are now hurting, and there is going to be mining, and there is going to be resource extraction in this state. This initiative will not stop that. And there's a lot of advertising out there being said how this is going to crush everything in its path and nothing can happen. That is not true. We have gone through two Supreme Court hearings since 50,000 people in this state, across the entire state, signed this ballot initiative saying they want to vote on this. That is monumental in all districts. We had two Supreme Court hearings that pushed this back until collecting those signatures late in the season in October, and we still collected those signatures. People want to have their voices heard. The legislature is not listening. That's why House Bill 199 went nowhere. Right now, we are being spent 10-1 by the opposition, and if you have any questions about how this bill will affect you and your life in your area, please get a hold of me personally. I'm always happy to get punched in the face or have a decent conversation. Thank you.
Peter Kalkgrom.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and to speak today. My name is Peter Calpagirone. I'm the Legal and Regulatory Affairs Manager for the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. Before that, I was an Assistant Attorney General with the State of Alaska Department of Law. The Alaska Oil and Gas Association is the trade association of 13 oil and gas producers in the state of Alaska. The oil and gas industry is responsible for, either directly or indirectly, one-third of the jobs in this state, one-third of the salaries that are earned in this state, and 75% of the unrestricted state revenue that comes into the state of Alaska's coffers. As an organization, we respectfully oppose Ballot Measure 1 because we believe that this measure, if passed, will certainly negatively affect the oil and gas industry. It will hurt Alaska's economy, and it will certainly increase unemployment. As has been testified to already, this is a poorly drafted, vague, and overly burdensome ballot measure. It's replete with unknown and unintended consequences. It will certainly lead to greater costs, greater delays, and greater burdens, not only for the oil and gas industry, but also other state entities like Department of Transportation and individual Alaskans who want to complete projects and receive permits for them. I'd like to quote from the president of one of our member companies, Alyeska Pipeline Service Company. This is the entity that manages and TAPS pipeline, which has been discussed earlier in this hearing. To quote from him, if the Fish Habitat Initiative becomes law, it will hinder and prevent Alyeska from operating permits needed to perform work crucial to TAPS, crucial to its safe and reliable operations in a timely way. I would respectfully remind people that the TAPS pipeline is one of the economic arteries of Alaska. In conclusion, our position is that the current law, as it is currently written, is effective and adequately protects anadromous fish habitat, and this is a position that is consistent with that taken by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and that statement can be found in the FAQ handouts that are here in the room, which some of you have taken. Thank you for your time today and the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Eric Osborne.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for being here to listen to our concerns. I am speaking in favor of this initiative. I've been a commercial fisherman for about 40 years, and I've also worked in, gold exploration, drilling, and I've worked at the mine here, a couple of them, and I worked on the North Slope. I have appreciation for the oil and gas industry and the mining industry and its need to function. However, it's very important to recognize that you're not just protecting salmon, but you're protecting human populations that depend on them and animal populations that depend on them. You're protecting the food chain and the viability of the land to support people and the value of the land, because lands have value when they have fish. It was only a federal permitting that slowed down the process of this dredging in Bonanza, where people were outraged and they found they had no voice. And it was similar at the Iron Creek mine here. There was a road to resources. There was somebody promoting it and stock going up, and a lot of people here could see it would be a failure that would threaten a stream, and it ended in failure. The same fellows promoted Donlin Creek, and he's moved on, and he's promoting another mine and another road to resources up in the Arctic. It's a lot of the promotion of mining and the impetus is political and fallacious, and people are the victims because there's no coherent public process to protect half of the salmon streams in Alaska that aren't identified as anadromous. Fish and Game says, I think I read something like 19,000 little bodies of water considered anadromous, and about a similar amount aren't. So this is an exercise in intellectual honesty and cultural responsibility toward our resource and our lives. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no one else. On this sheet. Okay. We have one on this sheet. Tom Oglasic.
Yes, Ariga. Good to see you, Lieutenant Governor, here in Sitnasak, in Nome.
Thank you.
Ubungat Diga Kule Sak, My name is Ukulele Sauk, Vice President of Corporate Affairs for Sitnasauk Native Corporation. And I'll give you this comment letter for the record as well. But I'm here to share comments on behalf of Sitnasauk Native Corporation on the ballot Measure 1. As introduction, Sitnasauk is one of the Alaska Native Village Corporations created in 1971 under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, or ANSCA. We're proudly headquartered in Nome and the largest of 16 village corporations in this region, the Bering Strait. Our diverse portfolio of businesses include, among others, Bonanza Fuel, Bonanza Express, Fidelity Title of Alaska, Matsu Title Agency, Nanook, Sitnasauk Applied Technologies, Motion Holding Company, SNC Technical Services, and Aurora Industries. Alaska Native corporations such as SNC are unique legal entities, as you know, created under federal law and represent social, cultural, economic interests of Alaska Natives. As an Alaska Native Village Corporation with corporate and business operations throughout Alaska and elsewhere, sustainable economic development is very important to our ability to be profitable, generate and share dividends and other benefits from scholarships to bereavement assistance with our shareholders, and also both create and support jobs. We also support responsible and sustainable resource development of our Alaska Native regional corporations across Alaska. And these are developments such as the Red Dog Mine, Alpine Oil Field, and Timber Harvest. The importance of revenue sharing via 7J of ANSCA is very unique and beneficial with tremendous economic and social cultural benefits to Native corporations all over Alaska. In regards to salmon, as well as other fish, animals, plants, and many subsistence resources, these are very valuable to our Alaska Native shareholders and community. Significantly, the proposed initiative language and ballot Measure 1 causes concerns of overreach and potential excessive regulation that could critically hinder responsible economic development by Sitnasauk, other Alaska Native corporations, and/or other businesses investing into Alaska. We reviewed the FAQ document that is available for handout here at this meeting that was prepared by the State of Alaska, and in which the Alaska Department of Fish and Game states, quotation, the ADFNG believes the current permitting process effectively protects adromenous fish habitat, end of quote. SNC is also concerned with the ballot measure as there was not appropriate and widespread consultation with Alaska Natives, tribes, and Alaska Native corporations that would impact each in economic and community infrastructure development. Given the current language and complexities associated with the development of a regulatory language and subsequent interpretations, the uncertainties cause great concerns regarding this ballot measure. In closing, we appreciate the opportunity to share our concerns and commend the State of Alaska for seeking public comments regarding this complex issue. We are looking forward to an ongoing positive relationship with the State of Alaska and stand by our comments for responsible, economic, and environmentally sustainable development of Alaska's natural resources and urge the state to continue to use the public process as you evaluate a path forward.
Thank you.
Tavra, I'm finished.
Okay. On this sheet, there was just one yes. There were a number of LOs that could mean hell no. It could mean lordy, lordy, no, but I assume it means no. And so from the first page, I overstepped the first name. So Austin, are you?
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Austin Amasuk. I was born and raised here in Nome. The state of Alaska has a poor, much need of improvement permitting and review process. Being born and raised here in Nome, I know this from two very significant examples. In the offshore mining areas, if you look at the affidavits of annual labor that offshore miners submit every year, a very large number of those offshore miners indicate in their certified affidavits that they take or use ANCSA resources, village corporation resources, without permission. this has gone on for decades, I imagine, and this is part of the permitting and review process that we here in Nome are very concerned about. Now, the Stanford Salmon ballot, and the ballot one, won't address those wrongful things that occur with state-approved mining claims, which I assume, or I'd be willing to bet, good money occurs throughout the entire state of Alaska. How I know ballot measure one would help our people is a very relevant example here in Nome, and that was with the Rock Creek Mine. The Rock Creek Mine was poorly managed. It had a very thorough permitting and review process, but the effort to control water at the mine was a complete failure. And only through citizen initiatives that myself and others partook in, we undertook the water quality samples for the mine. We showed those things to the state of Alaska DNR. They were very slow to respond to violations. And only because of citizen initiatives in Nome here were things done correctly. They were not done correctly because the state permitting and review process happened like it should. It did not happen like it should. There are many, many harmful and horrific examples of how mines should be managed and how the permitting and review process must be managed. Here in Nome, because of our long mining history, I know firsthand the negative impacts from mining. They've been occurring here for a very long time. My Norwegian side has been in the Nome area since the Gold Rush days. My Inupiaq side has been here forever. And there's a very long history of bad examples of mining and its impact upon people here in Nome. So I stand for salmon, and I will vote yes on ballot measure one. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe that is the last, or the first, but the last to testify at this moment. We are legally obliged to keep this hearing open and available to testimony for those who may come in a bit later until 3 p.m., and we will do so. And until we do get additional citizens who choose to testify, desire to testify, we will stand in recess.
Hello, Alaska. This is Scott Merriweather calling this hearing back to order for just a moment. Anyone may submit public comment on ballot measure one at any time through the online public notice posted at notice.alaska.gov/189769. Thank you to all who testified today, and especially to the Legislative Affairs Agency. Hearing. This hearing on Citizen Initiative 17-FSH2, otherwise known as Ballot Measure 1, is now adjourned.
Your host is exiting the conference.